relationships, sex, passion. With Dr. Lori Petito. Hear the show live weeknights 10 to 11 on CJAD 800.
Welcome to Passion, a show all about love, sex, and relationships. Tonight, it is alternative sex. The night we explore the different ways people express their passion for sex. And tonight we discuss BDSM with a couple, Pierre and Catherine, who actually appeared on the TV show Kink. And we'll be talking to them about their experiences on television, about BDSM. They're here to answer your questions, basically. So they are known experts in this field. And if you have questions for them, 514-790-0991, or you can text us at 514-800. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
It's great having you here, and thank you for sharing your time with us. So how was it? If you can remember back filming Kink, how was it to be actually on television and exposing your such private parts of your lives?
Actually, we discovered that we were a bit of exhibitionist. I mean, this
really?
Is all with this. You know, you're watching yourself on TV and you're going, wow, I'm on TV and I'm doing this on TV. Cool, you know.
What did your parents think?
Actually, they still don't know, but
really, eh?
For me, it was easy being French speaking. I mean, my mom doesn't watch, you know, Showcase and stuff like this. So,
right.
But sometimes we had weird situation, I have to admit.
Really? After that, were you recognized? Like, what happened?
That's the worst part, actually.
For me, I was recognized at work. And that was pretty
at
interesting.
Work?
Yeah, at work. And it was really interesting because it was never like the cute guy from the warehouse. It was always like the creepy guy from accounting.
Oh, my God.
And for a while, every time I went to the washroom, and we're talking like once a day, there'd be people like hanging around outside the washroom because they wanted to tell me, well, you know, I did it too. And it's like, oh, come on.
Well, that's interesting that, you know, people would come out of the woodwork and start to sharing with you things that they have done that they probably hadn't shared with anybody.
Oh, and I mean, things I really didn't want to know as well. You know.
Now you know how I feel when I go to a party and somebody comes up to me and says, something wrong with my penis. I really don't want to know about it. Thank you very much. Happens often, but anyhow. So some of our listeners may not quite know what BDSM is all about. So, you know, who engages in it? What are we talking about here?
Actually, the most people have no idea what BDSM is. And if they were to know exactly what BDSM is, they would find it boring, probably. Because BDSM is basically about a relationship based on the exchange of power. That's about it. Everything else is a tool to go to the exchange of power, the sex, the S&M, if you do it, the bondage, or whatever fetishes you may have. It's basically, it's just to support the exchange of power. And the people miss that. They always get stuck, you know, on the S&M, the blood, and you know, it's like, there's
pain.
But there's no blood and S&M, because if you draw blood, it means you did something wrong.
Right.
I mean, that's the whole thing. People, they have these ideas that are wrong. And I mean, She's been recognized at work. At work, I work with other men. So for me, it was a little more manly, let's say. You
cool.
know, you beat women up, we're going, you know, to break your legs. Like, okay, come on.
Oh, wow.
You know, you have to.
This is what they interpreted as if you beat them up?
Well, it was interesting because when people would recognize me, it's like, oh, wow, there's a mistress. Is that ever cool? Oh, what's it like? And that when they recognize him, they'd say, oh, there's a woman beater. It was amazing, the double standard.
That's interesting. Okay, so there's this exchange of power that you're talking about. Maybe you need to explain what that means in terms of exchange of power.
Okay, some people in their relationship, they want someone for all kind of reason. They want somebody to be the boss, if you want,
or authority,
the authority of their life. They don't want to have to think about what to eat, what to wear, or what to do. They want somebody to tell them.
Not 24/7.
It depends. Some people dream about it.
Sometimes.
We don't think it's healthy to be 24/7, you know, in such a relationship.
I would think that would be quite an imbalance to...
But when you read the books and that exist, you know...
50 Shades of Grey,
Stories of O, people read this and they think that a real relationship in BDSM is like this. And it's like, you have to figure out that a book or a story is a story.
Right.
It's not something real. When you read something or see something on the TV, you know, and some of the movies, it's a movie.
Right.
But people sometimes they don't seem to be able to make that line. So this is one of the worst or the hardest part that we have to face, because they have these ideas, these wrong, you know, these
misperceptions.
Yeah. Misperception. Thank you. Yeah. And this is the biggest problem we have.
So in your relationship...
We're both dominant.
You're both dominant. Yep. How does that work together then?
Well, we're also vanilla together.
Vanilla? Okay, okay, so explain that to our listeners.
So we're vanilla together. We have normal, everyday intercourse.
Mm-hmm. Regular, you know, regular.
Regular intercourse.
No kinky sex, is that in other words?
No, no, we have that as well.
Okay. So there's vanilla, there's kinky, and there's BDSM.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. Just because we like kinky doesn't mean there's anything wrong with sex at all.
Right.
You know. But we also, we have different partners. I'm bisexual, Pierre isn't. So we'll share the women and
she has male subs.
And I have male subs. And basically it's an exchange of power where sometimes we'll use that that exchange of power to help them with life issues. For instance, when somebody wants to stop smoking. So it could be that I help them work out a plan for that, maybe with meditation, with other things, all sorts of training. It gets pretty involved.
You're like, wow, this is like going far beyond any of my understanding of what BDSM is. We're going to have to take a short break, but coming up, we'll play a few clips from the show as well, and then we'll talk more about some of the specifics, and also I want you to tell us about the BDSM Circle, because you run a website all about this. So, and we'll take your questions as well. You're listening to Passion on CJAD 800.
You're listening to Passion with Dr. Lori Battito on CJAD 800.
Me and Katrin, we have something called a stable. Français, un étable. A stable is basically, if you have a farm and you have a stable, it means that you have many, many animals in it, all kind. So here's a catch. We have many type of sub in that stable.
We're responsible for their BDSM sexuality. We're responsible to help them be better. We love our subs. They're part of our family unit. We're responsible for everything.
That's a clip from the show Kink, where our guests were one of the featured couples, Pierre and Catherine. So talk about this concept of a stable.
Well, because we have many subs, and how can I say this? It's really like having many animals, and I know some people may not like...
This is not about bestiality,
no,
folks.
No, it's not about...
Okay, no. I just want to put that out there.
Oh, yes.
But what we mean is different subs have different needs, have different...
Kinks,
different fetishes, you know, different... Something, different sexual fantasy.
They fulfill different needs for us, too. There are some that I just... I want to be the big mean girl with, and they like that, and it's fun to be able to be the mean girl or the mean lady. Mm-hmm. There's some that want more direction and more authority and management of their life, which
is their whole life.
Sometimes
we help them.
Basically, we go as far as we think is healthy for the person. Because unfortunately, sometimes mentally ill people are drawn to this, and that's about as unsexy as you can get, by the way.
Right, right. That's the thing, is how do we weed out those who are ill, may have a mental illness versus those who this
well,
is
before
just
a thing? Before I actually, I'm sorry to interrupt.
No,
before
no,
I
on.
Actually take a sub into our stable or for us, you know, I talk with them for quite a bit. I need to... You know, I have little secrets, ways of weeding out the nutters.
Okay.
You know, one of the things is when I look at their reaction when we talk about a safe word. You know, some people say, oh, you have all the I have all the control then, mistress, it's no good. But, you know, I need to know that what I'm doing is okay. Right. If they're saying no, 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 which can really be fun and part of the game, I need to know that they're okay with it.
Right.
And
you need absolute consent.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. It'd be no fun for me if I didn't know I had that. I couldn't have fun being mean if I didn't know that this person wasn't going to get all hot about it the next day thinking about it.
So all of this is like a play, like you're acting out a whole bunch of stuff.
It's half a play and half real, because we use the BDSM. For instance, right now we have one of our sub needs to lose a bit of weight. She's looking for a job and stuff, and we're helping her to lose weight. And the way we're doing this is, if she loses weight every week, that when we see her, or every 2 weeks, when she comes in, we weigh her.
Okay.
And if she lost a bit of weight, we're not asking her to lose 20 pounds, but right. if she's doing well, we're giving her the best play we can. If she's not doing well,
you punish her.
Well, actually,
the last time our punishment was, we just told her to get dressed and go home, which was just devastating. It was hilarious.
Okay.
Yeah. So,
we don't believe in cultural punishment.
Do people pay then to come see you?
No.
No.
We do this because we love this.
I'm not a whore.
Okay. I didn't mean to imply you were, Catherine.
It's all good. Actually, professional dominatrix, they do fulfill a service in the same way
and
that
they
want money.
It, right? Yeah.
They want money. You know, I want things from our subs too. Okay. I don't want money. Although sometimes they do have to pay for consumables like condoms and
sure.
and things like this. Mm-hmm. But I want fidelity. I want them to do tasks for me. They may do things like clean out the garbage can, okay. Clean my house, take my dog for a walk. They may stack the wood. That was a big pile of wood. things like this. But it's also, you know, I might have them alphabetize my grocery list. I feel like it, or whatever.
Clean and the dungeon we have, clean some of the toys, because we have to maintain the toys so they're, you know, they're clean and
sanitary,
safe.
Sanitary, yes.
So this is a big thing that they do.
You have a dungeon?
Yes, well, in our house.
In your house?
On the main floor, which is the thing that ever surprises everybody, because they always think it's going to be in the basement.
How's Christmas dinner at your house?
You know what? We have actually an adult Christmas, and it's a hoot. Okay?
You don't have kids.
No, we don't have kids. And you know what? If I had kids, I wouldn't have a dungeon in my house.
Okay.
Because sooner or later, the kids are going to find the dungeon.
Well,
is
that?
Yeah. And there's lots of people that we've talked to over the years that are lifestylers that have dungeons in their house with kids, and I personally have an issue with that.
Okay.
Because at some point, those kids are going to look in that room.
I mean,
some answers.
Yeah.
And the kids are very interested by things that they shouldn't do or look at.
Oh,
and, you know,
and if you're hiding it.
And if you're hiding it, I mean, you're asking for them to look for it, you know?
Right. We got a question here. Ask your guest, how can I be a master? Is there training involved? I wouldn't mind spanking women if they like it. Which I like the fact that he said, I wouldn't mind doing it if they like it.
The consensual part.
The consensual part. Very important.
There isn't like a club. There isn't like a
school.
A school. However, you know what? Do a bit of research.
Okay? The internet is fabulous for this.
The internet is great for that. Use common sense.
Please.
Basically, if you're looking at spanking, remember to keep on the sit part of the bum.
Okay.
So don't go up higher because your kidneys are there. So that's a really important thing. Now, you know, the bum isn't indestructible, but it's one of the tougher parts of the body. So, you know, don't take a baseball bat or anything like that. Use your bare hand when you're starting.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But, go ahead. Have fun.
As long as you do it safely and consensually.
Absolutely.
We're gonna take a short break and come back with Pierre and Catherine from BDSM, the BDSM Circle, which we'll tell you about coming up. And they appeared on Kink. We're going to hear a couple more clips on the show Kink. They were a couple that were featured there. So if you have questions for them, you can give us a call or text us here on Passion on CJD 800.
You're listening to Passion with Dr. Lori Battito on CJAD 800.
Alternative Sex tonight, where we explore the different ways people express their passion for sex. And tonight we're talking about BDSM. We have with us Pierre and Catherine. They are a couple who appeared on the TV show Kink. They have a dungeon in their home. They run a website called the BDSM Circle. And we're getting some reaction. Somebody texted in and just said, ew. I'm sure that's not, okay, that is to be expected. I'm sure that you get that reaction quite a bit.
You know what? BDSM covers such a wide range of things. There are things that I thought of, ew, before I tried them. I thought, eh, I don't think I'm really going to like that, and loved it. So you never know, Mr. and Mrs. Ooh.
Right. You know, what's interesting is when 50 Shades of Grey came out. Now, I read the three books, and it was all about BDSM. And mm-hmm. some people in the BDSM community, I think, were not too thrilled with it. And other people reacted really badly to it, saying it's a horrible treatment of women and there's violence. And when in fact, if you understand, and I, you know, had been exposed from all these mm-hmm. interviews I've done to BDSM, and I thought it was pretty accurate, you know, pretty accurate description, and it seemed okay. Like it seemed like it, there was consent, and like I looked exactly. for all those things. There were
very
safe
important.
Words, consent, and things done safely and what have you. But it's funny how people, it started to become even more mainstream now. People thinking about it, you know.
Music video, the movies in general. BDSM is all over the place. I mean, just say the word latex. You see latex clothing all over the place now. And a lot of people would use latex. It's part of their BDSM. The leather itself. I mean, I don't remember what artist did this song called S&M, which was number one for a while.
That's right. I mean, that's right.
It's all over the place.
It is more than, and I think we're just trying to teach people that it's what it is about and what it is not about, because that's I think that's a bit of,
you know what, I think it's really important for people to know that if they have these desires, it's kind of primal, you know, that the dominance or the roughness, it doesn't mean that you're a rapist, it doesn't mean that you're crazy. Okay. There is a healthy outlet for it, and it's with a consensual, informed person, and that's the bottom line.
Well, somebody wrote in, interesting show, Dr. Lori. I was wondering how trust is established in this sort of relationship.
Negotiation. The big part of a BDSM relationship is always to be negotiating with your partner, not just before the relationship, but during the relationship. Mm-hmm. You do some scene or you do something at S&M, something new, and after the play, you talk with your sub or your partner to know how she or he reacted. Did you like it? You didn't like? What did you need you didn't like? And from there, you go further. But you always have to talk. I mean, even in a vanilla relationship, people who stop talking are usually the relationship that breaks.
Yeah, but Pierre, I have news for you. A lot of people don't talk about sex. They'll do
they
don't talk about it. And what I have noticed in couples that practice, you know, kink or BDSM or even lifestylers, they have the best communication of couples I know.
But they have to.
That's right. They absolutely have to, or they can't have these kinds of relationships. This kind of behavior is impossible.
In 2012, some people are still afraid to talk about sex.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, if you want to
be Pierre. Yeah. We're going to take a break for the news and come back with Pierre and Catherine discussing BDSM. You're listening to Passion on CJAD 800.
You're listening to Passion with Dr. Lori Battito on CJAD 800.
We both own the subs. They're not, it's not just my sub. It's not just Pierre's sub. They have to be submissive to both of us. They have to realize that we're a unit together.
Even though I'm the one that plays with the male subs, we both play with the female subs. We're one of the very few couples that actually dom as a team.
I have an early birthday gift for you.
Go!
It's a unique situation because usually they're answering to one and not a couple.
But he is the king of the castle.
That's Pierre and Catherine, who appeared on the TV show Kink. That was a clip. So talking about you being a couple, one of the few dominant couples.
Well, we see more and more nowadays. There's a lot of people that are switch, which means that they're submissive and or them in a, depending of their mood. Okay. And often these people are going to have now maybe their own stable or at least a couple of sub, you know. It's now it's changing, and I think it's a good thing.
So do you play together as two dominants? Can that
sometimes.
Is that possible?
Sometimes, sure.
What do you do, beat each other up?
No.
How does that work exactly?
Oh, you meant no. With that, we need a sub.
Okay,
but we have like sex. We're a married couple.
Right. You have regular sex. Yes, but I'm talking about using the BDS. So you, when you do BDSM together, there's always somebody else.
Yes,
there is, because I have health issues.
Okay,
where I'm actually severe diabetic, so I can't be a sub for S&M because my body just won't heal fast enough.
Okay. From like spankings and stuff?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I mean, well, I can be bruised for months.
You have to avoid that.
Our relationship started like this, but you know, it's fun when you play and you give her a good spanking or a good, you know, flogging, and then you come back to being Pierre and Katie or Catherine, and she doesn't heal. And then weeks goes and she doesn't heal. So trust me, then you start to panic.
Right, because you don't want to hurt your partner.
Nope.
No. And, you know, it's funny. Just while we're on the topic, people say, how can somebody like pain?
Oh, boy.
That's a question right here.
Okay.
Here. It says, hi, Dr. Lee. I can't understand why someone would enjoy being spanked. Are there women who truly enjoy being spanked, even if it's slightly over and over again? Can you ask your guest to explain the pleasure? Catherine wants to explain.
I do, because... Okay. There's these things called endorphins. And what it is, when the body's under stress, if you go back to primal, you know, we're running away from a predator or something.
Fight or flight. Flight response.
Yeah. Uh-huh. You get these endorphins, which is like a drug that makes you kind of happy high. And
it's a natural drug.
It's a natural drug that your body produces. It's got wonderful side effects. I've had subs that I've started to give pain to, will actually giggle for like 2 hours after. Yep. It just couldn't stop giggling. It was hilarious. And what it is they kind of get drunk from the adrenaline or the endorphins. Mm-hmm. And this isn't just, this has to be a sustained stress on the body. You have to be really careful when you're doing it because you are stressing the body and you have to know how to do it. It usually takes a dominant quite a while to actually learn the skills to be able to. But when you get it, oh boy, is it ever great. Why do people drink? Why do people smoke pot? Same deal.
It's not for everybody, though.
No, but
not everybody enjoys this pain.
If you get them to where they get endorphins, sure they do.
There's a lot of people who like the endorphin. Other people will like the scene itself, you know, you're in the dungeon, you're dressed in a certain way, things are happening. For them, what we call in French, la mise en scène.
Mm-hmm. The
for
ambiance.
Them, the ambiance. For them, that does it.
That is the turn on.
And for
them.
Some people, it's that, yep.
Okay, we got a couple more text messages. So articulate, great spokespeople for BDSM. So
thank
that's
you.
A nice
thanks.
Compliment for you. Okay, hey, Dr. Lori, tell your female guest, I do what she wants. She sounds hot. Text me. Another one. Okay, ask them about being a switch. So I think you talked about being a switch.
Well, being a switch is, some people, their need will be to be dominant. Some other people, their need is going to be submissive. But many people want to do both. They want to play both ways.
They'll find the situation hot. Mm-hmm. So whether or not they're on either side, you know, some of the best doms are subs. Or our subs as well, because they can say, boy, that'd be really exciting if somebody did that to me, and then just turn it around.
Actually, in 50 Shades of Grey, Christian Grey, the main character, who is a dom, actually, as he starts to trust his wife, his sub, he now does the switch and teaches her how to be dominant. So it's really interesting. Tell me a little bit about BDSMcircle.com.
Okay, this is a website we started in 2000 when we met. At the beginning, it was just a little site to have fun with. And we had so many answers that basically it took a life of its own.
You mean so many questions?
Questions, right. Emails, and some weeks we can receive up to 400 emails.
Whoa!
No, it's okay.
We have thousands of people that read it every day from all over the world. It's incredible because it really is all over the world. We've like snuck in China and snuck in different countries. We get these emails or like, you know, we some of them are just hilarious. We had one fellow that wanted to buy me a car.
So what is the main purpose of BDSMCircle.com?
There's many purposes. We explain things to people. We try to make it very easy to understand.
Accessible.
Well, we talk about the basics of BDSM because we feel that many sites will talk about advanced topic.
Okay.
But before you know how to do some suspension or something like this, maybe you should know what is a no-hit zone or what is a pressure point before.
So really, this is for people who are interested in learning more about BDSM and being safe about it.
Mostly being safe about it.
How to do this safely.
Listen, there's many ways to do BDSM. There's as many ways to do BDSM that there's people, but there's only one way to be safe. And this is the only thing that we will not accept to discuss.
It's a really large site, too, I have to say. It's like 1,000 pages.
We have an ad section that is fairly popular.
We have stories.
We have articles that we put. We have actually an editorial section that sometimes when we want to blow a gasket, this is what we use.
Don't blow a gasket tonight. Okay. I'm speaking of blowing a gasket here. There was that whole story about the fireman... or whoever he was, who killed his girlfriend, died during a scene and during play, and it made the newspapers. And I know it was big in the French press.
They really blew
it up.
And I have a problem with this because it's an accident. The guy did something wrong. He was stupid. I mean, to use common sense, sometimes would do.
What happened? Tell us the story.
Basically, he was playing with his female sub and he needed to get something at the grocery store. So instead of maybe sitting her in the chair and say, wait for me.
He tied her
standing up with a big collar on her neck, suspended to the ceiling.
Around her neck?
Around her neck, suspended to her ceiling.
Apparently.
But she was standing
allegedly,
up.
Allegedly, let's just say this.
Yes,
allegedly.
So she was on her feet, so she was okay. But then he left for 15 minutes. But he had played with that lady for almost 24 hours. So she was tired. She was underfed. So she basically got ill and fell,
So she could have
She lost consciousness. And when she did, she strangled herself. And one of the first rule is, we put collar on people, but you don't tie it to anything.
Okay.
Unless they're sitting or something, right?
Yeah. Well, common sense. If you do a certain type of bondage, is there a danger from that bondage? You know,
if somebody's arms and legs are tied like to their body, their sense of balance is way off. And to put anything around their neck at that point is really dangerous.
You're asking for trouble.
Okay. It's because they can't shift their weight. They can't most people, if you make them stand with their arms and their legs tied together and they can't shift a lot, they'll lose their balance within 4 or 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm. And that's the problem. Common sense. I mean, a lot of people would do BDSM and they seem to forget about these things. They seem to forget that sometimes you breathe, sometimes you eat.
Yeah, but unfortunately, not everybody has the best common sense. And I think if you're going to engage in this kind of play or scene or what have been this behavior, you better know the rules. You better get informed. This is not child's play.
That's why the meetings up with other DOMs and talking about plays and talking about things is a really good thing. We do munches every once in a while, and that's basically where it's a safe place. It's in a restaurant. So there's no play, there's no sex, there's nothing like that. We'll meet in a restaurant and we'll talk. And it's amazing some of the questions that we get just on real basic safety issues.
But that seems to be the most important thing. After this doesn't give BDSM a very good name.
No, but remember, this is taboo. People are scared of this. And often this is why they go into this, because they're scared of it. You know, what's black and you don't understand? It's like mysterious. It's like, we have to go into this, you know? But the problem is there. Internet is a fabulous tool if you know how to look for answers.
Sure, it's not always going to give you the best answers.
No,
and some people get really upset, like this person. How sick can you get? I will never listen to your show again.
Dr. Laurie.
What can I do? You know, bringing reality to the listeners. Turn off your radio.
You know what? You need to close their door on their closed mind.
But you know what's the worst? It's often people would do some action that are actually dominating or BDSM and they don't know about it. Mm. I mean, we can, we're just talking about the position, the missionary position. Think about it. There's somebody dominating a lady there, but they don't see it like this.
Right.
It's a dominating position. I mean,
but you know, to me, again, it's a question of consent and whatever, absolutely, whatever works, yep, for a couple, whatever turns them on, if it's legal and safe and consensual, that's all we need to care about. Like really, and, you know, I see a lot of people judging and.
You cannot get away from the judging on one basis,
and that is people need to be informed.
Okay? Yeah, well, that's why we're here.
There's consent.
Yep.
There's consent, but there's also consent where you need to educate and know what you're doing to the person and know how to do it safely.
And I want to talk a little bit more about that informed consent coming up. You're listening to Passion on CJAD 800.
You're listening to Passion with Dr. Lori Battito on CJAD 800.
If there isn't the trust there and the communication and the constant negotiation and work on the relationship, it wouldn't work as well as it does. You know, we both want to make the other happy. That's huge. You know,
so for this us, is my that's, love. That's the most important.
And we talked about that, the communication, how important that is. Got another text message. LOL, that person is so going to be back for more. Very interesting topic. And you were telling me after we got that email about how sick can you get, I'll never listen to you again. You were saying?
A lot of people are the most venomous, saying, no, it's sick, it's gross, you're disgusting, are the ones that are actually wired that way. And I understand why they say this, because if you don't know that there's a healthy, safe outlet out there, then these feelings to dominate or be primal or to grab somebody's
or to be submissive
are not good. I mean,
they are scary.
They're scary. And you know, if it's not a consensual relationship, this is a bad thing. Because, you know, in a relationship where it's consensual, where you've talked about it, you've negotiated, you know what you're each other. It's hot and exciting and wonderful, and the whole world opens up.
I have to tell you, though, it's not always hot and exciting for both people, because I know couples where for one person, that they're wired that way. That's their need to be dominated. Yeah. But for the wife, it may not be, or it could be the other way around, but it may not, it's not a turn on for her.
Absolutely.
But yet she'll do it because she knows that it turns him on.
She loves him.
And she'll do it sometimes, but as long as they can have vanilla sex,
We have met people like this, and I don't know.
You know, sometimes that's when you're better off to just say, go to a pro.
Or
absolutely.
Or find another partner with limits, you know?
But go to a pro, but you know, you may not want to get involved sexually with somebody else. That may not be something.
You see, many, many people who do BDSM do not have sex with their BDSM partner.
Okay.
They have intercourse with a wife, a girlfriend, a boyfriend. They do their BDSM with another partner, and intercourse is not a part of it. I do not have intercourse with my submissives.
Okay. It's a limit for us.
Well, not traditional intercourse.
So these are your limits. You limit it to play without the sex part. You
know? Well, they're sexual. You can have oral sex. You can. There's different lines, but my line is, and you know, never say never. I've just never really found a submissive I wanted to do that with.
Okay.
For me, if she wanted to have sex like this with a submissive, it would be do it in a dominating way. If a man would come in my house and make, you know, passionate love to my wife, I would probably react badly to it, you know. But if she's having fun with a submissive, and I would probably look and go, oh, cool, you know, it's different.
Now, here's another really strong reaction. you are sick and closet perverts, and you, doctor?
Sorry, we're not closet.
No, yeah, I was just going to say, we're right out there.
I'm put in there. I'm put in there, too. And you, doctor, I will keep on listening to you because it makes me appreciate the decent people with good moral values. Frankly, I consider myself to have very good moral values just because we introduce topics and, you know, and bring this to the forefront we're just exposing what goes on all around.
Okay. Do you
that's
realize?
It.
Johnson's and Johnson's?
Masters and
Johnson. Thank you. Not soap. Masters Johnson said, I think it's 17% of people do BDSM, but I think it's a lot more because if you start talking to people, we don't do BDSM, just a little slap and tickle, or we use scarves, or just a little BDSM, spanking, or a role play.
That's BDSM. You have an exchange of power.
Right. And if you look at it in the larger, in the large definition of that, of course, this goes on in many couples. They just, you were on Kink. Kink, the show Kink itself, if you look at it, made a lot of people feel this way. Why? Because they exposed the extremes. That's what they did. I mean, that was, a lot of their seasons, not all of the, clearly not all of the couples were like that, but a lot of what they put on there was extreme.
And a lot of people are visually extreme, where if you see us, we're pretty... how did the director put it? Subversive.
Why are you subversive?
Because we don't look. I mean, you know what? Right now,
you look like a very ordinary couple to me.
That's right. It. But you know what? Put me in my leathers and my thigh high boots and a nice corset, and hey, you got Mistress Catherine right now. There is a mindset that comes with it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess these reactions are rather common.
They're to be expected. But at the same time, they're fun.
Okay. Well, they're real. I read them because this is real people, and real people have real opinions. Reactions and opinions, and that's okay. Everybody can, is entitled to their opinion. But the goal of this show is to bring real people to expose what happens in the bedrooms of people. And it's not all about... Everything that's beyond vanilla sex is sick or perverse or... Anyway, we do as a society tend to judge
actually,
rather quickly.
If we have the chance to come back here and talk with you more, we're going to ask you a question about this because I think there's things that people should know about fetishes and stuff like this from Dr. Laurie.
Oh, yeah. Well, we certainly have talked about that in the past. But anyhow, then we got another one. Dr. Laurie, thank God there is people like you dedicated to helping and informing people on all aspects of sexuality. Well, thank you. A voice of reason there. I appreciate that very much. Short break and come back with Pierre and Catherine discussing BDSM here on Passion.
You're listening to Passion with Dr. Laurie Battito on CJAD 800.
We're talking tonight with Pierre and Catherine, delightful guests. They were a couple who appeared on the TV show Kink. They run a website, one of the most popular websites on this topic, called BDSMCircle.com. If there's more information that you want about this topic and how to do this safely, if it's something you have been interested in and want to explore, then go to BDSMCircle.com. Do you, Catherine, there's one question I wanted to get, in terms of people being wired this way. Do you believe that people are wired for this?
Absolutely.
What makes you think
even
that?
Even when I was fairly young, you'd see the movies and, the soft, nice, sweet movies with the flowers and the soft music. And it's like... Oh, yeah, that's nice. But then I would see, where this guy grabbed the woman and threw her on down. And it's like, ooh, okay. And it's something stirs. And it's something primal. And I know I'm wired this way.
You always felt this way.
Always felt this way. And I remember when I was a teenager feeling submissive and thinking, my God, what is the matter with me? How, I want to be raped. Oh, my God, I'm sick. And then realizing, as I luckily met a partner, that, there is a way to do this, and it is okay, and it can be, compartmentalized into a healthy part of your life.
Well, we have so much more to say and no time tonight, but I promise you, in another month, when you come back from vacation, a month or two, you're coming back, because we have people who have questions for you, and I've got lots more questions for you.
We would just
love
that.
And I just love
that.
You guys. You guys are great.
It.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having us. It was great.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much to Brad Smith, too, for his technical work tonight, and for all of you who texted in, the nice ones and the nasty ones.
Listen to Passion with Dr. Lori Petito live weeknights 10 to 11 on CJAD and CJAD.com.